Welcome to the Eastman Dental Podcast, where we hope to inspire, motivate, and provide education from our guests' experience.
Wow, Julia. I mean, Joe's career journey, but also all the incredible stuff that they're doing up in Liverpool was really great to hear about.
Yes, and I think it's so refreshing to hear such a different way of dental education being provided. I mean, really branching out and doing something that gives accessibility to dental training to so many people.
And people have talked about the integration of hygiene therapy, BDS, before, but it's really great to hear how Jo and her team are actually starting to do that more proactively.
Yeah, really inspirational for lots of dental schools.
So if you want to know more about Jo's journey and the innovative things that they're doing up in Liverpool, then listen up.
With your hosts, Josh Hudson and Julia Bruin.
Jo, welcome to the Eastman Dental Podcast. You've undertaken a range of different roles throughout your career. It's been a varied career. But as usual, we want to take things back to the start. So where did your dental journey begin? What got you into dentistry in the first place?
Okay. Well, if I think back to when I was at school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I thought physio was going to be something that I'd be interested in. So that's where my work experience took me with school. I went along and realised that it wasn't for me. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Maybe that was the area that I was in, but it suddenly made me think that wasn't the right thing. Then I didn't really know what I wanted to do. A family friend invited me along to his dental practice for a morning just to see whether I wanted to do anything vaguely in the area of dentistry, mm-hmm. or medical or people or whatever. I wasn't keen, but I went along. And that's, I think, where it all started, because I went for the morning, but actually ended up staying the whole day, and then continued from there, going in as often as I possibly could in holidays, gaining as much experience as possible, shadowing different dentists. There was a hygienist there as well, so I shadowed her, and it kind of went from there. At the time when I was at school doing my A-levels, I had some advice from the careers advisor. I found a leaflet about dental therapy. Obviously, in the practice, I'd been observing dentists and the hygienist. And I knew that I wanted to do something clinical or a clinical position, but I kind of felt I wanted to do a little bit more than a hygienist. So I found dental therapy in this leaflet. The careers advisor advised me not to bother applying, because there was only 8 places in the country, so it probably wasn't worth bothering.
Okay.
So I kept thinking. I found dental technology as a dental technician, so I applied and I was interviewed in Manchester for the program there. But then the family friend from the practice sort of sat me down and said, look, what is it that you really want to do? And it was more the people that I wanted to work with, rather than just being the technician and doing that side of things. So he offered me the opportunity to work as a dental nurse and to train as a dental nurse whilst thinking about what I wanted to do, but also whilst applying for dental therapy. So I went to night school on a Thursday evening to undertake my dental nurse training, worked full-time in the practice, and at the same time applied for the course at the London, and that's where it started. And I did then get one of those 8 places, and then started that in 1998, if I remember rightly, qualifying in 2000.
So you qualified as a dental therapist, and in those days, things were slightly different as they are now. And I'm sure during the course of this episode, we'll be teasing out a lot more dental therapy stories. But you spent about 10 years working in a number of different dental settings after qualifying. Perhaps tell us about those.
Yeah, so I qualified in 2000. And my qualification was a diploma in dental hygiene and a diploma in dental therapy. I met my now husband whilst in London as well. He was offered a job in Bristol. And so I was looking for work in the Gloucestershire area. But in the meantime, because jobs take time to come along, I started doing a little bit of hospital work at the London. And I was also doing quite a bit of locum work in London as well, which wasn't my cup of tea, but it meant the money was coming in. And whilst I applied, I wanted to use my full scope of practice. And at that point, you could only work in community or hospital as a dental therapist. And so I was looking for a community job. I went to the British Association of Dental Therapists conference, and I networked there and kind of had a conversation, said, does anybody know of any therapist jobs in community in the Gloucestershire area? And actually, one came up. So it started there. I really, probably after 3 or 4 months of qualifying, I was then starting in a full-time role as a dental therapist, hygienist and therapist at that point in community, working with a wide range of patients, children, special needs patients. And it kind of evolved from there. In 2002, dental therapists then had sort of extended duties that they could undertake. So I went and did that training to be able to expand my scope of practice. We could then start working in general practice as a dental therapist as well. So I branched out a little bit and was doing community and a little bit in practice. As life evolves and things move on, the opportunity then came to actually move back home. That was home for kind of my husband and I. So we moved back up to the Northwest, and I got in touch with a practice that trained me sort of as a dental nurse and got me on the dentistry pathway to start with. And I gave them a call, and before I'd even finished the conversation, they said,
oh, yes, I'm sure they probably did. They probably said, come on, right up.
We'll give you a full-time therapist job. So I was then there for about 7 years, utilising my full scope of practice. I really, really enjoyed the time there because I had a lot of freedom. I was well supported. I always had a dental nurse to support me as well. So it was a really good environment to be in. Obviously, there was ups and downs, but I was definitely enjoying it there.
And fortunate to find a practice like that
early
on in the scheme of things, because actually dental therapy in those days wasn't quite what it is now, and people still have preconceived ideas. But I think, you know, if we're talking, you know, nearly 20 years ago, that will have made a very big difference.
Absolutely. I mean, even now, not everybody knows what a dental therapist is. Yeah. So back then, it was all very different. But I was used well within the team. And so, yeah, I gained a lot of experience, saw a lot of children that the dentist didn't fancy treating.
And then at some point in your journey, education became part. So what's the story of that? Where did education then come into this kind of pathway that you were going along?
I think at certain times in your career or in life, we have time to reflect and think about things. We're often always so busy and things going on. But it was when I was on maternity leave with my eldest son, and it got me thinking, right, because I was 21 when I qualified, and I'd been working roughly about 10 years. I got about 10 years experience at that point. And I kind of thought, well, what am I going back to after maternity leave? And do I see myself there for another 30 years or so? And it made me think that maybe I wanted something a little bit different, similar, but different. Mm-hmm. And so I kept my eyes open, and I came across an NHS jobs advert for a clinical supervisor role, just for a day and a half a week at one of the placements linked with University of Liverpool. So I went along, not really knowing whether I was going to enjoy it or not, but I did. I can remember the cohort of students that I worked with, first of all. And they were actually very supportive as well. And it was them that told me about then a post that came up at university itself, because they were looking for new academic members of staff. So it was them that kind of made me aware of jobs that were coming up. So I applied and gained a post for 4 days a week working as a dental therapy tutor.
So was that period where you were doing both? You had this kind of teaching element and also your practice element. I'm interested, what was the interface between those two things like? Do you think that they benefited each other? Was the one thing that helped the other? What was the integration between those two aspects of your career? How did that work?
I think they probably did help each other. It's always good to be clinical when you're teaching, because you're then sharing your experiences, and not just previous experiences, but what happened yesterday or what you did in the morning. You can then discuss that with the students. I think I didn't have any teaching experience, so I went into it all very, very new. And it did make me have to kind of think hard about, actually, I do this all day, every day, but how do I then actually teach it? And so you obviously then have to break things down and think about things in a lot more detail. So it kind of did make me think probably about my clinical work as well as supervising the students clinically.
That's really interesting, Jo, when I hear people talking about that turning point that makes people think, what else is out there? What else can I do? Why don't I go into teaching? And you went in with no teaching experience, by your own admission, by what you've just said, but actually you had been doing this tasks, these skills you'd been using for the last 10 years. So actually you'd got a wealth of experience, really. Did you find it a challenge? Did you embrace it? You know, you've clearly worked up the ranks, as it were, because we're going to be coming to what you're doing now, but this is something that you started off thinking, oh God, were you a bit nervous about doing it?
Absolutely. It was all very, very different, probably quite a steep learning curve. As a dental therapy tutor at Liverpool, when I was there working 4 days a week, there was so much to take in, from teaching generally, design of modules, creating teaching materials, all these things that I'd never done before. But actually, I am quite a creative person. So I did enjoy doing that and putting materials together and sharing those with the students. So I then, because I hadn't got any teaching qualifications, I just got the experience at that point.
We never use that word just.
No, I know. I shouldn't say that either.
I just need to. There's always one episode where I have to sort of correct a speaker.
Yes.
So I'm sorry that I'm interrupting.
It's okay.
I'm just conscious that we try not to use that word.
No.
We?
No.
You know, you are.
I completely understand that.
And so, forgive me.
I try and say that myself.
Yes.
So I had my experience, but I didn't have anything more than that. And so I started with a postgraduate certificate in learning and teaching and higher education at the University of Liverpool, which again was a very steep learning curve because there was so much new content, so much new terminology that I was a bit overwhelmed probably to start with.
But and then, obviously being a new mum. I mean, this sounds as this is combining with your maternity.
Yes, I think
so
at that
you were
point,
a busy person.
Yeah, my eldest was probably about three at that point. Yes, and I think back and actually I had a conversation with a student yesterday, and she said, "How did you manage to do all that in that time and have children?" And I say, "Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I don't know." So I did my postgraduate certificate. And I enjoyed it, but I found that challenging. I then obviously utilised what I'd been learning, developed my skills more, and continued on with a postgraduate diploma. And actually, I really, really enjoyed that a lot more because I understood what was going on. I understood the terminology. And so I was able to utilise it further. So I think it was a steep learning curve to start with, But then it all started to feel familiar and comfortable and much easier to undertake.
And with this podcast, what we're hoping to do by sharing people's experiences is to try and inspire our listeners, maybe not to give up what they're doing and go to something completely new, but to expand their horizons. And there might be somebody listening that's in a similar point to you where they're thinking, do I want to do this for X period of time or do I want to branch out? And you were obviously passionate about the education that you got involved in, and we'll talk about the progression that you went through. But if someone's listening to that back in that position where you were, would you recommend teaching? What advice would you give to somebody who's thinking about exploring education as an adjunct to their clinical work?
I think never say never. Always take opportunities if they come along, because until you try something, you will not know. I think it's good to get involved with even just small amounts of teaching to start with, whether it be educating and helping, teaching maybe a trainee dental nurse in the practice, getting involved in that side of thing as a bit of an introduction, maybe trying to get some experience shadowing other people. But clinical supervision is definitely a way into sort of teaching and academia by being able to be with the students, with the patients, because that's what you're used to doing. And so it'll feel a lot more natural and normal. Mm-hmm. To start with, before you start getting involved with all the other aspects of academia that we need to be dealing with.
Which brings me on to the fact that you are now the dental therapy program director at Liverpool.
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, you and your team are really doing pretty groundbreaking stuff up there in Liverpool. So tell us what your team and you are all up to.
So at Liverpool, led by the Dean, Professor Vince Bissell, we have created a innovative, fully integrated BDS and BSc curriculum. This has been the brains of Professor Luke Dawson, who is our Vice Dean of Learning and Scholarship. And we have basically created a curriculum which we've called the Centennial Curriculum. Now, we've called it that because it was 100 years in 2019 when we started the programme. It was 100 years since the school became part of the university. So we wanted to recognise that. And we called it the Centennial Curriculum rather than the new curriculum in comparison to the old curriculum. Because, again, with terminology of something, if you talk about something being old, it sounds like it's out of date and that kind of thing. We're actually, what we were trying to say is what we're doing is different. And so the Centennial Curriculum started. And it was because of, if we think about the General Dental Council's preparing for practice and how in there they talk about new registrants or future registrants working together as a team from an early stage. Also standards, GDC standards for the team talks about effective team working, and as well the Health Education England Advancing Dental Care report that came out that talks about utilising multidisciplinary approaches, skill mix, flexible models for education, and also utilising more of a skills escalator for dentists and dental therapists. So the way it all works, we have two pathways, a BDS pathway and a BSc dental therapy pathway, and the students apply through UCAS. And they know which programme they're coming to. There are different entry requirements. And the students come along and we put them together from day one. And again, we've thought carefully about the terminology that we use with the students. Because numbers-wise, when we started in 2019, we had 16 BSc students and 72 BDS students. And we didn't want the BSc students to be lost. It was definitely going to be a change in culture because most of the school staff were used to teaching BDS students.
It's a culture change for everybody, completely. Isn't it? The students as well as staff.
Completely. And so we didn't want people to refer to the BSc students and keep talking about, oh, well, when you're a dentist and you're all going to be future dentists, that those kind of conversations. And so to stop that, we came up with the naming convention of a collaborative learning core. So the first 3 years, we know the students as collaborative learning core one, so CLC one, CLC two, or CLC three. So in the first 3 years, all students, it doesn't matter which pathway they're on, they're all learning within the scope of practice of a dental therapist. After 3 years, those that are on the BSc dental therapy pathway go off into the big wide world, and those on the BDS pathway continue on for years 4 and 5. But in those first 3 years, they're all learning as a dental therapist would be. There is the option, because of we've sort of got a skills escalator model, that those students that have done this BSc that started in 2019 with us at Liverpool have the opportunity to apply for our graduate entry programme. So that means that if you've undertaken the BSc at Liverpool, you can apply for very, very limited number of places to enhance your scope of practice to then that of a dentist. So there's two routes in. You can either apply in third year, so that you would just continue on to years 4 and 5. Or the students are able to graduate with their BSc, go into the big wide world, gain some experience, and then they can apply to come back again to pick up years 4 and 5, which is very, very different to what you can do in any other school in the country. Because there are some dental therapists that want to enhance their scope of practice and do dentistry. That's not new.
And would it work the other way around? I mean, I'm just thinking about those BDS students that suddenly think after the third year, actually, can I leave now?
So,
or does it not work like that?
There is that possibility. The important thing would be that actually they've achieved and they've achieved all the learning outcomes set out by the GDC. So as long as they have done that, then there's no reason why they can't leave with an exit qualification of a BSc in dental therapy, because actually things change in life and 5 years is a long time to be at dental school. Mm. And actually sometimes people might think, do you know what? Actually, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. I've got this and this and this going on. And actually, maybe if I've done what I need to do, maybe this is what I should be doing.
That's really interesting. And I'm sure our listeners will have lots of questions.
We haven't been in that position yet.
Okay.
And it would definitely be about making sure that they've met all the requirements.
I think the other thing that you were talking about in terms of that leaving and coming back, I appreciate it's early stages of doing this. At the moment, presumably that's people that have qualified from your course coming back.
Yeah.
Do you think there's potential to widen that to other people in the future?
Potentially. I mean, it is early
yeah,
stages.
Yeah, for sure.
So we've had two cohorts graduate so far. So next summer will be our third cohort. And so it has been an iterative process. Mm-hmm. As we've gone along, we've been learning, we've been developing as we've been going. And again, it might be something that we can look to be doing in the future. But as it is at the moment, it is just Liverpool graduates. And it is very, very limited places. So there are only two places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already very competitive. So
sure,
if we open the floodgates, it would be, nearly impossible.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that lots of dental schools around the country are looking to you as the starting point for all of this, because I think we may see lots of these type of educational pathways for lots of people in lots of different places now.
Yeah, we have had the feeling that the eyes have been on us. It was sort of put together as a little bit of a pilot to kind of see how it worked. And we've been aware as we've been going through that people have been watching and seeing how it works, if it works, and kind of going from there. I think it has been an iterative process, as I've said. And we also had the pandemic that hit.
Yeah.
massive thing when you mentioned 2019. We've sort of fast forward to 2023, haven't we?
So
we're doing this interview.
We started September 2019. And then in that first year of a new curriculum, we were hit by the pandemic. So that has had a huge impact. And often people have said, how is the new curriculum? And it's difficult to say, because when a pandemic hits, you just have to react, and that's what we've done at times.
But I think if you spoke to everybody who's in dental education, we all had to be quite creative
completely,
at that time.
Yeah. Completely.
And I think it would be fair to say some of the things that we came up with at the Eastman, we will continue to use. And these were
definitely
born out by circumstances that we never envisaged ourselves being in, unprecedented times, and creative juices really had to flow.
Completely. There's lots of positives that have come out of the pandemic. Maybe not as we thought to start with, and we're kind of thinking, how do we do dentistry online? But definitely there have been lots of positives that have come out. There have been challenges with the curriculum. I think as with anything that is new, there will be challenges. But there have been quite a few successes as well. We had our first GDC inspection of the first 3 years of the programme when our first cohort came through. And we had an excellent result from that, and we didn't have any recommendations from that GDC inspection. So I think from the experiences of the school and the efforts that have been put in and a pandemic, I think we've done
very
well.
Sounds like a great team up there.
We've done well.
Yeah, great recognition. I think one of the things that you said earlier that's kind of stuck with me is you were talking about the GDC standards and working together more collaboratively. And we talk about working together as a team a lot, but I guess this is a completely new way of that integration and everybody working together in a whole different way. So how do you think the students have benefited from this integration between the two programs?
So I think the students themselves have made great friendships from it, because they're all in it together. Mm. They've got a lot of support for one another. They're understanding each other's roles within the dental team a lot more. They've got a much deeper understanding. We've obviously always had, in preparing for practice with our classic BDS curriculum, the awareness of the dental team. Mm. But I think it was only touched on at certain times. Whereas now, from day one, they're integrated and they're learning about one another and one another's scope of practice. And I think we don't know the long-term benefit, but hopefully in the future, it will make a difference to the dental teams in the big wide world there. As I say, they've made fantastic friendships, and those friendships that people make at university and at dental schools are generally lifelong friendships. So hopefully that will make a big difference for the future teams.
I'm sure it will. And I guess the flip side of that is for the staff, because quite often in organisations, there might be the two different programmes with a lack of integration. And let's be honest, you're teaching the same things, but they might be completely separate. But how, from a staff perspective, has the integration worked between the two programmes?
It is now completely different to what it used to be. A complete change in culture, a complete change in sort of ethos and what's been happening. So prior to the centennial curriculum starting, we used to have a diploma, a combined diploma in dental hygiene and therapy. We also ran a BSc in dental hygiene and therapy for a period of time, and the BDS program. And they were very separate. Separate from the students' perspective, they might have integrated a little bit socially, mm-hmm. But there was very, very little teaching together. Mm. Staff didn't really mix or integrate. It was very much us and them.
Yeah.
Whereas now, we're wanting to create students that are working as a team and understanding that for the future. And I think it's important that we've actually demonstrated that as a school as well, so that as a teaching team and education team, that we are working as a team, utilising people's strengths and working together. We used to have a staff room, an office that was for dental therapist tutors, because it was us and them, and we were all in the office together, maybe two offices if we'd spread out a little bit. And now it's very different. We've got offices where we've got dentists in the room and therapists in the room and a dental nurse in the room, and everybody is learning from everybody. I think for BDS colleagues, academic members of staff who haven't really had much experience with educating dental therapists, it's probably been a huge change for them. Mm-hmm. And we've spent a lot of time making sure that everybody's on the same page, sharing and updating everybody about scope of practice and being clear, because sometimes it's not clear. Mm-hmm. And there's been challenges around scope of practice. But I think as time is going on, things are definitely improving. But staff are definitely working as a team to be able to deliver the curriculum, and people are being utilised for their strengths.
Sounds great. Great use of staff, great use of resources as well. I'm sure you're not doubling up on everything as much anymore.
Definitely, definitely. And the right people are teaching the right things.
So, Joe, another initiative that you're working on up in Liverpool is this Year Zero pathway. And I was just wondering if you could explain to our listeners a little bit about what that involves.
Yeah, definitely. So I think over the years, dental therapy, dental hygiene education has changed. And in the recent years, the majority of schools have moved to a BSc program. And the application process has generally been via A-levels. And with that, there's often been the thought that you wouldn't have as many dental nurses potentially applying. And so to kind of factor that in, Liverpool has always had a Year Zero program for the BDS pathway. But with the starting of this BSc in dental therapy in 2019, we also rolled out a Year Zero pathway for dental therapy. And so what it has meant is students that have been out of education for a period of time or don't have the traditional A-level routes are able to apply, whether it be for BDS or whether it be for BSc in dental therapy. They have an interview with us. Again, they know which pathway they're applying for. If they're successful, they get a place at a local college. They do a year there, which is science-based, a foundation year. And if they're successful there, in the following September, they then continue with year one of either the BDS or the BSc pathway. And actually, we've had a lot of dental nurses come that way, but we've had also a lot of other people that have no dental nurse background or no dental background at all and have come in for all sorts of different reasons. Mm. It's excellent for widening participation, and we've had some really good students come through from that route.
And I think that really embraces what education should be, which is equal really for all, and that you're, like you say, you're getting good people at the end of it.
Definitely. And I think sometimes having some experience or life experience, whether you've had any dental experience before, is always beneficial. And the students, when they come in first year, we have a wide variety of students, some more mature, some straight from school, some with a dental nurse background, some with not. And there's a huge variety. It's such a diverse student body.
I mean, this is obviously just happening in Liverpool, but let's put those people into general practice, into lots of other dental settings. You are creating a new breed, if we can call it.
Yeah.
I think that's how I would describe it. This is quite groundbreaking with what you're doing. What do you think the impact is going to be in dental education or even within patient care and the industry?
I think, as I said already, that there have been a lot of eyes on us watching what we've been doing. And people are interested. Myself, the Dean, Professor Luke Dawson and Dr. Laura Gartshaw, who's the BDS Programme Director, who I work very closely with. We were recently at the AD conference, the European Dental Education Conference, which was held in Liverpool. And we put on a symposium to share what we'd been doing. And it was very well received. There was lots of positivity coming from it. There was lots of questions that probably we put out there at the very beginning, we were unsure about things. So we were able to clarify a lot. And people were interested in what we were doing. So it'd be interesting to see how things evolve and potentially how things change. Because there's many other programs out there that do have integration. I mean, as a student myself, I was integrated with BDS students, but it was only ad hoc. It was for short periods of time. Some schools have integration where the students come together for some things and then they're separate for others. Yeah. Whereas ours is completely, completely different because they're all in it together. The learning, the assessments, everything is the same within the first 3 years.
And let's keep with that little theme, because I think you and your team were recognised, if I can use that word, up in Liverpool. Didn't you receive a nice award?
So there was a few of us. I can't actually remember the number. Maybe it was 6 or 7 of us that all received recognition at AD for our education work that we've done.
Yeah, I mean, I
well deserved, look, I'm sure.
This is a podcast for lots of things, but, you know.
Thank you.
Congratulations to you and your team.
Thank you.
So this is obviously a careers podcast predominantly, and we've talked a lot about the programme and we've got a little bit sidetracked by that. But I guess that whole change of programme has impacted your career. So how's your career changed over the time that you've been at Liverpool and during your education role?
It has changed dramatically. As I said, I undertook my postgraduate certificate, then I did my diploma and then worked to doing my master's. So I completed my master's and that was all around assessment. That I completed that in 2019. So as we were trying to develop a curriculum, there's always a lot going on. So I gained my master's. I also gained recognition as a senior fellow from the University of Liverpool for everything that I'd been doing, a lot of my scholarship work, designing modules, components, and being involved with the curriculum. Why and sort of why did I keep doing it, I suppose? I think when I first started, somebody said to me, the program director role for a dental therapy program needs to be a dental therapist. Because at that point, the diploma programs were running, and historically they've been run by dentists. And so that little seed was sort of planted in my mind. Somebody else also said, do you think you would want to do something like that? And I think, again, it gets you thinking and I think it was those seeds that were planted. And I kind of thought, actually, I really enjoy what I'm doing. And maybe I could do that. I see other people doing that role. And yes, you have to step out of your comfort zone and you have to do things that you've probably never done before. But I think that's part of the role. It is challenging. And to be able to progress and develop yourself, you have to push yourself. And I had a lot of support from various different people to help me through. So it's kind of gone from there. I started off as a dental therapy tutor, recognition to become a clinical lecturer. And then just a couple of years ago, with the work that I'd done, the leadership roles that I'd got as being first year lead and also program director, I was able to gain promotion to a senior lecturer. As well. So that's kind of where I'm at the moment, as program director in a senior leadership role as part of the senior leadership team within the school. And it's been a busy 5 years. Next year, we're due to graduate our first cohort of BDS students on the centennial curriculum. And so it will be good to see them graduate. Fingers crossed.
I'm fascinated by this progression, and it's absolutely well deserved, and it's lovely to hear. We sometimes ask people on this podcast to describe their current situation, their current job, in 3 words. Do you think you could manage to give 3 words on your current job?
So I think rewarding. And actually, if I think back to whether my role is clinical or now sort of an academic role, I'd say rewarding, but in different ways. Rewarding because of the way you see the students develop, whether they be on a 3-year pathway or a 5-year pathway. The person they start out of or start out as, they are very different by the time they graduate. They can have their ups and downs. They can have their troubles. Their paths are not always straightforward. And it's the reward seeing them at graduation, gaining their BSc in dental therapy or their BDS, depending on which pathway they are on, and just seeing that progression.
Yeah. And it's a privilege to observe that sort of thing.
Definitely,
isn't it?
Definitely. Because I'm passionate about what I do and I want to see them sort of progressing in a similar or different a different way. So that would be one word. Challenging is definitely the other word. There's always something to challenge you. There's always problems to solve. As program director with my colleague, Dr. Laura Gartshaw, we work as a team. We've got two programs. We've got two program directors. And it is our responsibility to oversee sort of the overall management of the programs. And we do that together. But there can be challenges and we have to problem solve and we have to think on our feet. But that's part of it. And every day is different. So it's definitely challenging, but rewarding. So they kind of go hand in hand. And I think the third one is definitely it's enjoyable. I wouldn't do it. If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it. So definitely, I do enjoy it. Every day is different. I currently enjoy it. It may be in the future that I don't enjoy it, and maybe that's when I need to think again. But yeah, every day is different. There's always different things going on. Say it's been a busy, busy 5 years, and we'll see what comes next.
So over that career as a dental therapist, things have changed. So I guess there's two parts to my question. But first of all, what are your aspirations generally for dental therapy going forward? What do you hope that the future holds for therapists?
I think wider recognition. I think at Liverpool, we're definitely trying to do that. But I think it needs to come more widely. And I think the associations, BADT, BSDHT, are there promoting, pushing dental therapists, pushing the dental team to get that wider recognition, utilising our skills much more in general practice, trying to make a difference. There are still barriers, and it would be good to see some of these barriers sort of disappear so that dental therapists can be utilised more effectively and more within the teams more easily. Currently, we've got the barrier of the prescribing local anaesthetic, fluoride varnish, needing to have a patient-specific direction or a patient group direction to be able to administer or apply prescription-only medicines. And this has been going on for about 9 years now. But it would be good to see that hopefully there is some change there. So that will allow more flexibility and more freedom to be able to deliver more effective and more efficient patient care. And I think just more recognition for dental therapy as a profession within the profession, but also within the general public as well.
And then that brings me on to the second part of that question, which is what are your personal aspirations? Do you have any, are you setting your sights on anything in the future? Is there any...
For me as an individual?
For you as a clinician yourself? I mean, you've had a lot going on. So
exactly.
I'm not sure you necessarily need to be doing anything else, but...
I think, I say, it's been a busy, busy 5 years. I've gained a lot of experience. I've had a lot of support from people around me, for which I'm very, very grateful. I'm looking to do some more leadership, and maybe formalising that a little bit more. Last year, I ended up acting as maternity cover for my colleague as BDS program director. So again, for other reasons, it's been quite busy. So I think having the time just to absorb what has gone on and see kind of the rollout, the full rollout of the curriculum next year, and just take a bit of a moment really to kind of breathe and think
and reflect.
Where are things going? Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much for coming in. It's been a real joy to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's been really interesting. Thank you for sharing your journey.
Thank you.
If you've been inspired by that episode, did you know that the Eastman Dental Hospital Education Centre provide training for the whole dental team? Follow us on social media or search for the Eastman Dental Hospital Education Centre to find out more.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode. We would love to hear your suggestions for future guests. Remember to follow us on social media using hashtag the Eastman Dental Podcast. And if you like what you hear, please like, share, subscribe, and listen out for future episodes.